This week in African Tech. Insights from Britta Bridges' African Funding Report promises hope. Amazon Prime ends production of African content. Anambra State makes move to become a major tech hub. This is the Tech Point Africa podcast. I am Oluwani Femi Kolawole, and with me in the studio,
Bolu
Chimgoju.
So let's start by talking about the African funding landscape and a report released by Britta Bridges gave some kind of hope in the middle of all this chaos that is happening. Chimgoju, what do we have?
Okay, so I mean, it's kind of common knowledge that African startups raised less money than they did. Depending on who you're listening to, it could be anywhere from a 20% drop to a 40% drop. So basically, less money came in last year than 2022. But there's context, and that's kind of what Britta Bridges does with the report. They tried to provide a context to that drop. So they started with a 10-year overview of the funding landscape. So from 2014 to 2022, what has happened in that period? So what you would see is that funding has consistently grown. I think 2014 startups probably raised in Africa maybe about $500 million or something like that, which today, last year we had MNT Hallan, M Copadu, about 400. We had an acquisition last year of about $680 million. So basically, there's been a lot of growth. That's important to note. On the other hand, we've also seen that 2019, 2020, 2021, those were insane years because of the COVID, and the pandemic. So basically what happened during that period was everyone was inside. So the stock of tech companies rose. Yeah. Guys like Zoom, who were now more important to companies, they saw their stock rise. And naturally, investors were putting money behind those vehicles or behind those businesses. There were also policy moves by certain governments. So governments were either giving out subsidies to their citizens or giving them cash injections or even reducing exchange rates. So near zero interest rate means that startups were kind of favored. So why is this important to note? So investors, this one you're asking if 14% was made sense. Mm-hmm. So an investor in the public market may not always get 14%. In fact, only in very rare cases would they get 14%. So what happens is I want to invest my money and I'm looking. If I invest my money in the US, I'd probably get a 3% growth on that. But if I invested that money in a startup that could do 10x in very successful cases, you could see close to 100x returns on my money, right? And that means that investing in startups is a more attractive option. Yeah. But after the pandemic, everyone had money. So people were spending online, investors had money. Yeah. We now saw a situation where the inflation rose as well, partially due to the Russia-Ukraine war. So with the rise of inflation, investors are trying to hedge their bets. We don't know what's going to happen and all. And it also caused a slump for venture capital because they don't get their money from you, right? Mm-hmm. But they get their money from like pension funds. Those guys are now looking for safer bets. It's no longer about huge returns. Now it's about how do I protect my money and make sure my money doesn't get
missing. And there were also other bad happenings in the financial space. SVB.
Yeah, I mean, those were in a way connected to the lower money. So for example, SVB, the bank run was because startups needed money.
Yeah.
They couldn't raise anymore. Mm-hmm. So all those things in context shows that what happened last year was not exactly, in a way, it was probably exaggerated. That's something that the report tried to point out. It was probably exaggerated. And why do I say exaggerated?
Like it's not that bad.
Yes. So if you put it in context, right, I think in 2019, startups raised about $2 billion, if I'm not mistaken.
African startups.
Yeah, African startups raised about $2 billion. And then you go from, let's say you're doing $2 billion and then you're doing like $4 billion next year. Mm-hmm. That's 2x increase. Yeah. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Right? Normally without that boost that COVID gave, it would not happen. So if we remove COVID as a major factor, what's left? Nothing really should have, would, like, we don't have any other factor that would have driven that much growth. Yeah. So basically what's happening now is sort of a reduction.
2023 now, what was the total?
2023, according to Brighter Bridges, was about 5 billion. But what we now saw was like a correction. So investors are no longer just pumping money in. Mm-hmm. In 2020, 2021, you could see someone who, you wanted to raise money and in a few days you're closing your round, right? Mm. That was very common.
Yeah.
Or investors were doing deals without due diligence. It was very common.
Yeah.
But with less money in their hands, they're no longer doing.
They do due diligence.
Exactly. So all
you
of those things.
You want to make sure that you have.
Yeah. So while it was bad, Brighter Bridges is saying yes, it was bad, but it's not as bad as we make it out to be. So.
And also, analysts in the global tech space are also optimistic that 2024 would not be as bad as 2023.
I mean, it's debatable. There is a possibility
for some countries
that it would continue. I can't remember what the growth expected for Africa is, but we are not going to like return to the COVID years immediately. So things would continue at this rate, maybe for the next few months. Hopefully, before the end of the year, it corrects. But we can't
see.
Really see.
We can't see it. That okay. We are hoping. We are hoping for the best. And moving from there, one of the outcomes of this economic situation that we just talked about, especially with funding, is layoffs is one of the side effects. And Amazon has laid off sometimes late last week. Amazon laid off, and the layoff is not really the news, but the fact that they are ending production of African content. Bulu, please.
All right, so Amazon Prime, the third largest streaming service in Africa, is scaling back original African content. And it is also laying off African staff. It has two major teams in the continent, one in Nigeria that work, those ones work from the from London, and the ones in South Africa that work from Cape Town. So they are basically saying this may cause the streaming service to stop original content
production,
production of original content in Africa, but then the ones that they've already started will continue, they'll finish it, but there's no assurance that there'll be new ones. So this means that a lot of the partnerships that, because if you remember, they started when they entered Nigeria, I think that was when they entered Africa in 2021, they were like really, they were pushing awareness,
partnering with
a lot of partnerships. Yeah, we saw the original the first Amazon original in Nigeria, Gangs of Lagos, and then we had other ones on the platform, Brotherhood, and so
she must be,
yes,
an original to you.
Yeah, so it now means that we might not be seeing
those original. It's not as if you will not see the ones that it's not as if you will not see African content on Amazon Prime at all.
Yes, it's not as if you will not see.
It's
but
the original
they will not,
ones.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, yes.
No,
yeah.
Original Amazon.
Yeah, music. And it's not just Africa. It's MENA region. It's the Middle East. It's Southeast
Latin
Asia. Yes. Yes, Latin America too. And even in America where they are, they also did some, there was also some job cuts, right? Which now, you now start wondering why, what is going on exactly? Is it because if those other ones didn't happen, you can now start thinking, okay, maybe it's because of the situation in Africa. Because when you think about it, the whole of Africa only has, or is projected to have about 8 million subscriptions, like across, like people that that people that subscribe to streaming platforms. You know, Africa is projected to have about 8 million, right? Which is a very small number, you know, considering how large the population is. Yeah, but then we still have players.
It's a small number.
I mean, when you consider
it's actually
I mean, if you're comparing, yes, it's a small
yes,
number.
Yes, if you're comparing, really, small number. And if you're also comparing the amount of funding it takes to create original content, right? And then you are now considering how much you make back, right? Because it's not as if you are charging these Africans the same amount you charge Americans or people in the Europe who are even more, right? So
it begs the question that how is Netflix gaming the system
and Showmax
how are they doing it? But I came across a conversation on LinkedIn earlier about Amazon Prime, and there were a lot of complaints about how easy it is to get on Amazon Prime, especially payment, because Africans are experiencing payment issues, especially when you want to pay on international platforms. It seems Amazon did not put that into consideration, and it's one of the when you talk about,
like, you mean paying for Prime, like Amazon Prime,
yes.
like it's an issue.
Yes,
I don't think it is. It's actually quite easy because I have a subscription and my normal Nigerian card, it works for it.
That's what I'm probably using.
So what I'm guessing is they probably pushed too hard too soon, right? So they spent a lot of money.
They can't scale, and they want to match Netflix.
Yes.
Competition.
Yes, which I think was I mean, as of 2021, I saw somewhere that they had about 500,000 subscribers, right, on the entire continent. Right, and again, I'm always going to go back to what Jason Njoku, the founder and CEO of Roku TV, right, what he keeps saying about the macro and how the macroeconomics of Africa affects being in a market, you know, a market such as, you know, streaming content, especially trying to create local content. It is very, very difficult, right, especially when you're investing dollar and you're expecting to take dollar out, right? So I think Amazon Prime they launched really hard, right? And it was they should have probably made it a slow and steady thing, right?
Well, when you meet huge players on ground, competing is quite hard. Yes,
yeah,
and I hope they're not just this pullback is not like pullback, we are done. I think it's going back to strategize and probably wait till the economy is much fairer than this and try to reduce back into the market. Yeah, that said, a state in Nigeria is making further moves to establish itself as a competitor to Lagos State, if I put it
Can we not do that? Let's just call them major tech hub.
Okay,
trying to become a major tech hub.
And I'm talking about Anambra State. Bolu, can you give us details on that?
All right. Yeah, so basically, like you said, Anambra is trying to become a major tech hub in Nigeria, and which is laudable because we don't really have states that are, you know, trying to become tech hubs in the country. So what they are doing basically is partnering with 26 big tech companies to do this. So there was a meeting with the U.S. Consulate General in Lagos with the Anambra State Governor.
In Lagos. You know, you see what I'm talking about. They had to come and do the meeting in Lagos. But please, Bolu, continue. Well, sorry to interrupt.
We'll talk about that later.
So, the Anambra State Governor, Chukwumas Charles Soludo, had the meeting and basically talked about, you know, the things to do, steps to take to help the state, you know, become, like we said, a tech hub. So, one of the partnerships, I think a few of them was mentioned what those partnerships will look like. So there's going to be one with Amazon Web Services and Amazon Web Services will help Anambra State transform its digital health and education systems, right? And then there's another with Dell and HP, where they will provide discounts on technical support for like purchasing devices, laptops, things like that. And then Google will help SMEs improve their digital presence, right? And then we also have Meta, formerly known as Facebook, will help them expand collaboration in the States, right? Help them also collaborate with other big players, right, in the global tech ecosystem. So that's basically what Anambra State is trying to do.
I have a hot take on this.
Okay.
This was an unnecessary partnership.
Okay.
And why do I say it's an unnecessary partnership? Everybody you've called here have some sort of local alternative. So if you want to be a major tech hub, you don't exactly need a Facebook partnership or a Meta partnership or an AWS partnership or even a Google partnership. Yes, you do not. You cannot. We use this word leapfrog a lot in tech, but you can't leapfrog basic steps. If you get 9 women pregnant in a month, you will not have a baby by the end of that month. You must wait 9 months to have that child. So I think these are unnecessary partnerships. And for example, you want to digitize health services, right? Mm-hmm. We are not lacking health tech startups in Nigeria or even in Africa.
Okay.
We are not lacking health tech startups who are doing this. We have Helium Health that does something similar. If you look very closely, you would also find other startups. You want to digitize SMEs, right? We have a Bumper who already operates in Nigeria, has, I believe, or I hope, better understanding of operating with SMEs than a Meta would do in Africa. What else do you want to do? You have a Google partnership. What's the Google partnership for?
Digital presence.
Okay, digital presence. Do we really need a Google partnership to boost digital presence? No, you do not.
So I think maybe we will not call it unnecessary.
I will call it unnecessary. You can decide not to.
I think it's something that has to go side by side. For instance, digitizing the healthcare and educational, like with AWS, kind of makes sense. Like just this week, we've been having conversations about how challenging it has been for startups to fulfill to pay their AWS.
How does Anambra solve that problem?
That's a bigger
macroeconomic problem. You don't make money in dollars. So if
AWS is coming in with credit,
mm-hmm. how much credit can they possibly
get? Can I say something, please? So I don't think it is I don't think it's unnecessary, but I think it is not necessary now. I think the
potato potatoes.
So if you look at one of the major tech hubs we have in Nigeria is Lagos. If you look at how, which I think was just because Lagos was already like, what do we call it? Like a business hub already. So it made sense that the major tech hub in the country will come from a place like that. But then you now notice that it only happened because it attracted tech talents. It attracted people who wanted to like go into tech, build tech businesses, which I think is
that's the foundation
Anambra State should be doing, right? Try and attract those people. Let them come. Let the place, because I think really, because if you look at Lagos now, I think a lot of other states in the country have a lot of leverage to attract those people. You can do, let there be internet, right? Things like that, right? Because when you look at Lagos too, it was those things
that attracted people. So maybe it's a posturing.
Let's use something. Yeah, it could be posturing.
Yeah.
Let's paint a very clear example. You want to use Lagos, right? Good. Lagos did not start out, they didn't become a tech hub by partnering with Google.
Exactly. Mm.
There was a CC hub, and there were several other smaller startups. There were partnerships with telecommunication providers who made internet access easier and in some ways cheaper. Now, Anambra State said they were cutting right-of-way charges last year. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much of that. I know Emmanuel started a conversation about whether that's even what we should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do this, you cannot jump processes. Make it easier. Now, like you mentioned, states that are not Lagos, Abuja, and maybe Port Harcourt have a significant advantage.
Yeah.
Cost of living is cheaper.
Exactly.
Right? I can get a very good house for 300,000 naira in most cities. That's something that could make someone decide, okay, I don't want to be in Lagos. But beyond that, you also have a core that you can start building. I know a few people who are building like that tech communities, or they are building tech startups in Anambra. What are you doing with those people? Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm not saying Anambra is not doing this, but it's kind of you jumping the gun to, you've not built out your own tech, your local tech ecosystem, and now you're looking for big. Yeah, they are, but are we seeing results? Because you cannot do everything.
Oh,
please, you sponsor someone to TechCrunch, Battlefield. How does that help us? But
it's still a step. So I think, okay, fine. Well, going for the big names might not be the exact move, but to an extent, it might be putting out a name for Anambra State.
I wonder how much
the poster PR is necessary.
So we'll see how it goes. Since it's a continuing
for PR.
It's an ongoing process. You get the state adopted startup act,
yeah.
And then they went on to court right of way charges. And I know it's an ongoing process. So if this is part of it and there's still more to add, it seems they are quite active in making the state a major tech up. So it's a matter of time, and we'll get back to that and check how they are doing.
Two things we want to check now. In Yaboyeji's that one's after 9 years. Many years are we taking this?
Let's give this one year.
Okay.
1 year.
Yes.
You will not say anything in 1 year.
No, 1 year is too small.
Okay. I'm not talking about becoming a major tech up. Like, how many startups are springing up from the place?
So you cannot do that in one year. Yeah.
Like, we will not see.
People need to think of ideas. They need to go work on those ideas. They need to go build these solutions.
Okay.
There are tech startups in Anambra.
So let's continue this conversation.
In the comment section,
okay. Online, on our social media platforms. You can even send us an email at podcast@techpoint.africa. We can continue the conversation there. And there are other news on the TechPoint Africa website. Safe Border returns to Kenya after 3 years. And Twiga Foods and Incentro agree to settle debt disputes out of court. There's also a partnership between InterSwitch and OPE, which I find interesting. And also a move by OPE to enforce KYC requirements will start in March 2024. It's like a response to the fraud cases that have been reported against them. So those and many more news you will find on the TechPoint Africa website. Rather, don't forget to interact with us. We'll be expecting your emails, your interaction on social media platforms. I also want to remind us about the Nigerian insurance industry report, which was released a week and a few days back. Please, if you've not downloaded it, go to intelpoint.co to get a copy. It is free, absolutely free, but you're going to get a lot of insights. We've also written some insights from that report on the TechPoint Africa website. You can also check those ones out. Our newsletters are still running, TechPoint Digest, Modern Workplace Newsletter, and also Equity Merchants. Don't forget to subscribe to these newsletters to get regular updates about what is going on in the investment space, investment and funding and startup space, in the whole African tech landscape, and also in the work and in the workspace. Yes, workspace, like workplace space. Bolu, where can they find us? I mean, our audio listeners.
All right. For audio listeners, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you get your podcast.
Thank you very much for joining us again today. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.